Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Microtransactions predate like a plot line in
video, yeah.
Right? Hello, and welcome to the Lore Boys, where Elf shot the food and Warrior needs food badly. My name is James. Who are you guys?
Lore Boys here. Whoa, I'm the wizard. Lore Boys, Ethan.
What color is this?
Orange Pete, I guess.
Orange Pete.
Needs beer badly.
Very good, very good. So if you haven't guessed and you haven't played, this is going to be a Gauntlet episode. It was first...
What's going to make it so long? And challenging. So, this episode, do you have a series of obstacles for us to overcome, Pete and I? Orange Pete and I?
We're like three lines from the etymology of what running the gauntlet means, so we're gonna go over it.
I see.
I already made a joke about it though.
Yeah.
Take those three lines out, save us some time.
Yeah.
Damn, we just got a patron.
We made it in under the wire.
Nice job, dude.
This was requested first by a patron, Last Peekaboo 11, and backed by another patron, Honest Don, a great member of the community.
Salute.
It was also requested by green name, The Big Slime, and backed by another red name, Raw Dog McGraw, or Juicy.
Oh, Honest Don. Fitty.
Yep, Fitty and Honest Don. I see you guys at just about every stream. They're a huge part of the community.
Nice.
Yep.
loreboys.com/twitch.tv/loreboysdiscord.gg.
yeah. Yeah. Thanks. So do we have new patrons? I think you already mentioned one.
Yeah. Got a chunk of heroes this week.
I thought you were bringing them up.
No. I told you before.
Sorry. So shout out. Thank you very much to... Did we thank Ethan Hunt last week?
Yes.
Okay, so yes, Ethan Hunt of Mission Impossible fame. Thanks again. Mm-hmm. Then we got Fluffy Merc. Thank you. Anarch Eve, which I didn't realize was a pun until I was reading it to myself a couple days ago. So excellent. Unholy. Excellent. Peek behind the curtain there, buddy. Forget everything you saw. And then 30 seconds ago, Brian Plemons. Welcome, everybody, to the War Boys Patreon. Thank you all very
much.
Nice job.
Good snipe. I still say Honey Boy every once in a while. That's an old patron.
Honey Boy.
It's a good one.
My ex called me Lover Boy from a song, God, I Miss Her.
God, You Miss Her is the name of the song, or?
Or Pete's just saying, God, I'm lonely.
God, I'm alone.
So what's everyone's experience with Gauntlet, the top-down arcade-y fantasy game?
I've played, the extent that I've played has been with you guys are a friend with the show, Bobby. Like, I've played it a bit. It's probably in my Steam library. Somebody probably bought it for me.
Library.
We probably got pretty far into it in a single night of gaming, but that's the extent of it for me.
That's almost exactly right, yeah. And
thank you for validating my own experience with it.
Well, yeah, I remember what stage we got to and how far and everything. So, yeah, your memory of of us together is right. Yeah. But otherwise, I would say it was wrong.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. Yeah. That's your opinion, I guess. But
so I played that one.
The Slayer edition.
The Slayer edition.
That I have.
Yeah.
Which is made by Arrowhead Games, creator of Helldivers 2.
Oh, interesting.
Is it? Oh, that is fun.
Tag that for the SEO.
That's why, that's kind of how I backed into this.
Helldivers prequel? ?
Yeah. 4-player co-op game where you get to kill your friends sometimes.
Can you kill each other in that one? Anyway, I played that
absolutely.
One with you guys. I played whichever Gauntlet was on the N64, and I remember the wizard
Legends.
Like, yeah, it was. I just remember rock shower, and my buddy Evan would just say that out loud every time he casted it while we were playing in Kyle's basement. And then I played Gauntlet the Seven Sorrows. I beat that again with Kyle, friend of the show.
That one's not even on my list. Where that was,
it was on Xbox or GameCube, which are the two consoles he owned when we were that age.
Oh my.
But I remember that specifically because we beat the game. It was Kyle, Alexi, and I. We beat the game in one sitting, listening to a Dane Cook stand-up CD that I think Alexi's brother that had burned for him. So it's a very 2002 Rad. Or whenever the fuck this was that we were doing this. We beat an entire game on the Xbox in one sitting because we were young enough to stay awake past 12:30. And then also listen to a stand-up special on a burned CD. So I have very fond memories of Gauntlet Seven Sorrows. That was a great evening.
Dude, yeah, now you got me looking up Dane Cook's stand-up specials names. Because I had Vicious Circle.
I had on DVD.
Yeah, I had Burned to a Disc, and I remember listening to it on my like Skippy CD player, sitting in my bed. Imagine just sitting in a bunk bed listening to a CD these days. Hell, that's crazy.
A Dane Cook CD, right? Like, yeah. Like, all of this is, like, Dane Cook is dead technology as much as a fucking CD player is, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, he got fucked by his brother or something. Something who was like his manager and took all of his money because he got really popular with the MySpace wave. He just did social media right from the beginning and then got super popular. He stole a few jokes, so he lost
the joke is that what I had heard him.
Yeah,
he lost credit from the other stand-up comedians, but yeah, he doesn't look himself now. He always has a very young girlfriend and his face always looks a little Botoxed, and yeah,
money does that to a motherfucker, man. It's crazy.
It's a vicious circle.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So it's your boy Joe Rogan saying that he stole jokes is the only person who is accusing him, apparently. And Louis C.K. Came out to defend him. And it was Rogan said that he stole from Louis C.K. Louis C.K. came out and said that no, it didn't happen. So there's no heroes in this story.
No, yeah.
Like, damn, what a courtroom lineup for the prosecution and the defense.
Sludge all the way down.
Just these bald idiots being like, "Your Honor, please."
Idiots and perverts.
Yeah, it all sucks. I'm looking at pictures of him with his like now girlfriend who looks way too young for him. Anyway,
I think I saw a Reductress article, which is like feminist magazine Onion specifically, yeah. And they were like, "Wow, hero man fell in love with a girl the day she turned 18 and not one day earlier." Was about Dane Cook meeting his girlfriend.
This middle-aged man fell in love with his 18-year-old girlfriend and not a day earlier.
Yeah. I mean, even more popular stand-up people like Jerry Seinfeld did that with that one lady, but anyways.
I mean, yeah, he straight up started dating her when she was 16, so no, yeah. He did the bad thing. I mean, it's all
no, Dane Cook is the hero, actually.
Yeah.
Imagine if that's what Joe Rogan accused him of. It's like, he stole dating teenagers from Jerry Seinfeld. That's bullshit.
Yeah, he did steal that bit. He did. That bit where she doesn't have an ID for the bar. Yeah.
Well, that's 21 in the States.
Bar, yeah. Yeah, you liked it. Okay, well, Gauntlet, we've got lots of experience. Mine's about the same as Ethan's. I had it on my PlayStation first, then my PC. It's like a $20 group play game. If you guys are into like top-down fantasy, kill the enemies, get the gold, buy the upgrades. That's just a fun little game.
You can do couch co-op yourself. I remember we did it once. Pretty blasted, and I had a controller and my keyboard plugged in, so I was actually playing two characters at the same time, which is nice. Is hard sober.
Right. Oh, I remember that now. Yeah. There was one that I always kept installed on my PlayStation because it was like a couch co-op. You could just like pass out the controllers and everyone could play.
Yeah,
and I'd have like anyone from the boys come over when we play that, or have a pretty lady over. It's just like an easy enough game to just pick up at any time, so
yeah, you can fulfill your fantasy of killing the girls that you bring home.
Yeah, I actually, yeah, she was better than me. She carried me. She could have killed me.
Jamie's so surprised. Oh, yeah, woman? Good at video game.
That was Mary Alex, who worked in gaming with us. Who
She's was a gamer.
She was a gamer. She could beat me in the shooters and stuff too. She was very good.
Okay. Friend of the show, Steve's girlfriend, kicked all our asses at Smash 64.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
The reason I'm so upset is because she's also like a neurosurgeon. She's studying for neurosurgery, and like, that's bullshit. You can be a girl that's better than me. You can't be a doctor that's better than me at video games.
Yeah. I wasted the time. What did you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah. So the word gauntlet, it comes from a French Oregon. French. Have you ever been to Paris, Oregon? Yeah. French origin. It comes from the word gant or glove.
Mm-hmm.
Gauntlet is just like
small glove.
Small glove. Yeah. Running the gauntlet. This comes from the first half of the 1600s from gantlope, which it's a Swedish word gatlop or lane course. It's a military punishment where a man runs between two rows of soldiers who struck him with sticks or knotted ropes. So to run the gauntlet,
it's like a hazing thing for Swedish rats.
We're going to make him run the gantlope.
I like to think of that's one of those desert cryptids that like a gold miner, like a prospector, would come back to town and talk about. It's like, I seen him. He tried to get my claim. The gantelope did it.
I had to run right past him. He beat me with a knotted rope.
Oh man, yeah. Imagine just a Swede just swinging that knotted rope, hitting you right in the balls or something. That would.
I hope they put that scene in a movie at some point, especially if the guy's really handsome and nude on a chair.
Yeah, exactly. Hits the elf. You go, elf needs food badly.
Love that line from Casino Royale.
Yeah, me too. So that's what the gauntlet is. I had to look it up since we were going to talk about it today. I knew it had to come up at some point. So now we know. But before there was something called Gauntlet, there was a game that I should have grabbed a picture for. I'll grab now.
Before there was something called Gauntlet, which we've just established happened in the 17th century.
Before there was a game called Gauntlet.
Okay.
We have an even older Swedish hazing ritual to get into.
Yeah, from the Atari.
This one's called the Broomstick of the Butt.
From the Atari, and it's hard to kind of look at, but... what it's called is Dandy, and I sent you a couple screenshots. You can see the little characters there, and you run around on the screen.
I see some Yankee Doodles, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You shoot arrows.
There's three Dandies, actually. This is the Dandy 3. It's OG. Right.
That's our personal gaming group.
Sorry.
You guys can find it, if you guys can find it. Yeah, so this was known as Dandy, or while it was in development, it was known as Thesis of Terror.
Why were those the two options left on the whiteboard?
Yeah, because it was Jack Palovic's MIT bachelor's thesis. So he called it the Thesis of Terror, and he made a game for it.
Well, we could go with Thesis of Terror, or perhaps the other title we've been working on of Dandy.
And Dandy meaning like what, a well-dressed gentleman? Is that what it is?
I was gonna say like a foppish kind of like limp-wristed fellow in court. The court
Dandy
gossip
is like generally happy, I think.
Dandy would be like, yeah.
Who places particular importance upon physical appearance and personal grooming, refined language, and leisurely hobbies.
Metrosexual.
Yeah, I was gonna say that.
A man unduly devoted to style, neatness, and fashion in dress and appearance. An excellent thing of its kind. This umbrella is a dandy.
Just being in the rain and saying that.
Boy, this umbrella is a dandy, I tell you. One drop of water upon my cummerbund.
So the original concept for Dandy is something that we would have been interested in, honestly. It was for a concept for a five-person game.
Oh, I was going to say style and court gossip. I'm so fucking down.
Yep. Four players would use an Atari computer as the graphical terminal, and the fifth player would be the dungeon master, who controls the action from a separate computer, so can actually manipulate levels.
Oh, neat. Yeah, keep talking, basically.
Yeah, sort of like that. Not probably not always as urgent as there's a bomb that's going to blow up in your face and I have the manual and you don't, but more like, oh, this is the scenario you're in. There's a person to your 5 feet to your left who seems friendly. There's a jar on a pedestal 5 feet to your right. What do you want to do?
On the Super Mario for the Wii U, you'd have like the players who could play, and then whoever had the touchpad could just like drop like platforms and stuff.
Oh yeah, Rayman Legends did the same thing. You had to play the green fairy character, so you were the fifth guy who could like cut ropes and shit, and they added that to a button prompt when they ported it to PC. He was on the bumper, basically. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, I enjoyed that game a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great get.
Yeah, so that's what they wanted it to be. The machines would communicate via serial ports, but time constraints stopped the Dungeon Master role from being implemented. Like, why don't we just program the computer to be the Dungeon Master so we don't need this whole fifth person and other machine and everything? So
hard enough finding three friends.
No kidding.
We would have had a fourth guy on the show if we could have.
Yeah, that's not an open casting call.
No.
Don't send in your tapes.
We've had people reach out who said, oh, I've written an episode. When can I do it? And that's not an open invite. This is our show. We love that you're into it, but it's not a free invite to do it yourself.
That is not the help wanted sign on our little cafe where you can just turn the sign around and come in with your own mop.
Yeah. If anything, we need you to make clips for us for free forever. That's what we're doing. Yeah.
Though
we're really looking for more of a slave and less of a co-host.
Yeah. If you do show up, do bring a mop because it is wet out here.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why we had to get the mic stands to keep them out of the water.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I kept destroying the USBs.
Yeah.
My Atari serial ports are getting all damp.
Yeah, we're every picture of a Southeast Asian land center during monsoon season where all the gamers are sitting in their plastic chairs knee deep in water.
Yes.
Where that's you
sit on, sit on your feet so you don't get shocked from the power bar. Yeah. Yeah, so the second machine was used as a file server, sending the new maps to the Atari on demand. So it was like pretty big. You needed more than one machine to get this all to work together. But then they did just compress it down so it would just run on an Atari at home by yourself.
Probably smarter.
In some cases, the Atari more impressive than like a PS5, right? The fact that these guys are doing this in the 70s is so cool.
Yeah.
Compared PS5 already on the way out, too. I just played through Ratchet and Clank Rifts Apart on PC. If it looks that good on PS5... than the PS5 rules, but I don't know. I've never actually touched a PS5.
I don't think the PS5 has ray tracing, so I'm going to say it doesn't, but I could be wrong.
I think it does. I think that was the whole sell on Ratchet and Clank being a debut title. Yeah,
it is.
The SSD was the selling point where you could like transition between dimensions. Anyway, we're getting off topic. My bad.
It does have ray tracing. It's an impressive piece of technology for sure, but it's one of those things. It's like it's an AMD chip. You know, it's like all these pieces like cobbled together, which are like these monumental achievements in their own field. But like we are standing on the shoulders of the Atari giants, right?
Yeah.
Who did this in their garage one day. So,
yeah.
With like literally a soldering pen, right? And just like on a circuit board, like figuring out which ones to fill in.
Yeah. Figuring out how to work computers before the language of it was made, like just knowing the ones and zeros, man.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Trying
to interpret what it's telling you.
Yeah. Yeah. So the gameplay design of Thesis of Terror was heavily influenced by Dungeons and Dragons.
No shit.
Yeah,
for sure.
Palovic had never played D&D, but he had read through the manuals and watched campaigns in the lounge of MIT's Newhouse dorm. So I can imagine people in MIT like crowding around to listen to a D&D session, which is cool. There's probably not much to do back then, so that would be a good way to spend your night. But that's the first D&D podcast, is like MIT dorm house kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pirate Radio it was called back in the day.
Yeah. I was influenced by the arcade video game Defender from 1981, which gave the idea of like the smart bomb or poisons. So it's like when you hit the bomb or the poisons, it does like a clear of the area of the enemies.
Okay, cool. Like the grenades in Gungeon.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. And you'll get that in the older versions of Gauntlet. You'll see that where we do have death. Like, remember whenever death appears in the game we played in Slayer Edition, where you just had to run away from this guy who has a portal around you the whole time?
Right, yeah.
You can kill death in the original Gauntlet by finding a potion that does the clear screen, and then it'll fend him away for a little while.
Cool.
Get him off your ass for a bit.
Dude, must be nice, because the way we played, it didn't seem like there was a way to get rid of him. You just had to avoid him the whole time.
I don't think we started. I don't think I've ever launched that game after under 3 beers, though. So there could absolutely be a way that someone without brain damage could probably figure it out.
it is like we did have gauntlets on at our keyboards.
Yeah, exactly.
The Defender game from 1981 also had like the maze exploration top down style. With the smart bomb, which was basically potions or explosions, using keys to unlock doors. But Dandy was stated to not be influenced by any of the roguelike games, such as like Rogue or Ancient Domains of Mystery or...
I love that. And I mean, we talk about it a lot, how like all art is derivative, but I just love the idea of being like, here's these like hugely impactful games in your field right at the time when you're developing this thing, and somebody just be like, no, I wasn't influenced at all.
I guess not directly.
Back when there were six games total. This is a whole completely original.
Yeah, like you didn't base your game off of it, but like no, for sure you're like somewhat inspired by the fact that it's another video game that did that.
We're all just meat machines like soaking up everything. Yeah. Like we were just saying, like, I haven't talked to Ariane in a while, but I bet you something Ariane has said to you has affected me indirectly at some point in the last month, right? Even though I've never talked to her, and I can say, oh, I'm completely not influenced by Ariane in any way, but in some small way I would be.
I mean, right? I don't think like it's so small, it's probably doesn't even count, but she did tell me to start putting laxatives in your coffee. So I've been driving out to the city every morning to fill your coffees with laxative.
Oh, I've had an upset tummy all day, and I barely got this episode together. So you know what? Maybe
she is thinking of you.
That's great to hear, because I'm feeling so cleaned out. You know, the roguelike toilet activities that I've had. where I die, but I come back barely. So Thesis of Terror's gameplay was designed not just by our friend Palovic, but there was also with help from MIT freshman Joel Gluck.
Great name.
Gluck.
Gluck.
That's why if a Twitch streamer has text to speech on, if I ever paid for it, I would just have the Gluck, Gluck, Gluck on Gluck, repeat Gluck, as the.
Nice. I like you oop, arrah, you oop. Arrah. That's one that people spam, and I just like it. I don't even know what it means. Gluck designed several of the levels and invented the dungeon crawl idiom, such as the funnel trap. That's where you put like a chest at the end of a triangle room, let's say. And once you get to that chest, a wave of enemies come from behind you.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So he did that first. He was the first guy to trick someone into going into a corner, I guess, in a video.
We should exploit the player's greed.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Never been done before. Which
is a Dark Souls trick as well, now carried on. But Dark Souls is not inspired by anything, actually. It's wholly original.
Yeah, exactly.
It's true. The treasures placed, like I said, in a way they run into it, causing a wall of monsters placed just off screen to activate and charge the party. Early versions of the game let players shoot each other. So this is something we kind of talked about. Can you kill each other in Gauntlet like you can in Helldivers?
I don't think so, but you can steal each other's gold.
You can kill. Well, there's like explosive barrels you can move around. There's traps you can trigger while people are standing.
Yeah, I remember actively trying to kill each other a lot.
Yeah,
because if it's an option, especially if I'm 4 beers deep, like Pete said, every time I've played Gauntlet, least that much to start. I get very combative, I think, with my friends.
I remember times where, like, we're both walking up to a pile of gold, and Elf, the character that I like to play was the Elf usually, being slightly more mobile. So being able to just, like, eke out just in front just to get the gold. But also, like, running into slow. Yeah, you often played the wizard, right?
I played the Valkyrie. I liked her.
And Bobby played the warrior. We all had our role. Which is, that's the original four. That's the original four. Yeah, so dead players originally had to sit out for the rest of the game, but the playtesters would just, like, end up starting the game over anytime someone died, so everyone could just be playing.
Yeah.
So they added the revival heart into the game, which is pretty standard these days, but not so much, I guess, in 1985.
How does it work in Gauntlet again? It's like an item you find, or
yeah, you like kill enough guys to like fill up a meter, I think, and then your dead body can just res.
There's a meter in the top left in Slayer where it just fills as you get kills, and every time the meter fills, you get a coin, and you can bargain with
death.
Bargain with death. You throw the coin to the death, and then you get to come back. And like if you're doing well, you'll have like three reses at any given moment. But if you're dying a lot, your friends are like constantly waiting for that bar to fill up to come back, kind of thing. But that's So, 1985 Atari Games Arcade video game Gauntlet. It built upon the core design of Dandy. There was a lawsuit, and it was settled out of court. So they Atari paid them off to go away, I guess. So Gauntlet designer Ed Logg. This is our man for
another
Gauntlet.
Great name.
Yep. I really like the Gluck one. Joel Gluck.
Ed Logg and Todd Gluck.
Joel Gluck. Joel Gluck.
Joel Joey, Gluck down on his luck.
Joey Gluck Gluck.
Joey Gluck Gluck down on his luck.
That would be a great Duncan's sign part. If he ended up homeless. Yeah. Just like spare some change for a man down on his gluck.
I remember that joke that was going around when we were in high school. Was, what did Cinderella say when she got to the ball? And Joel Gluck. yeah. So Gauntlet's like, hey, we're going to make a game that's a fantasy game top down with a few players, four players, just like you guys. And then they're like, hey, that's illegal. And then they're like, not for money, it didn't. And then they're like, yeah, you're right. Thanks for the money. Yeah. And
counterpoint, just two big bags with cartoon dollar signs on them.
Yeah. I wish that's what my severance came in. They just did a direct deposit.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't even get the novelty giant check to bring to the bank?
No, I know.
Imagine laying somebody off with a novelty giant check.
That would be cool, actually.
No taste, I'll say. And cool for you, single guy, for the you know, mother of two, a single mother of two down on her luck or whatever. Kind of less funny.
Having to unhook the car seat to fit the check in the back seat.
It's like blocking out the back window. She gets pulled over and gets a ticket. Just like
Oh boy. Yeah, so here comes Gauntlet. It's noted as being one of the first multiplayer dungeon crawl arcade games. It's definitely the most popular early one. It was much more popular than Dandy was. But it had like a lot more class identity. Like Dandy, you could play as four players who all had arrows, who could all kill the same enemies, had the same powers, did the same things.
Yeah.
But in Gauntlet, you got to be either an elf or a warrior or a magician or a Valkyrie. It all had different abilities with different.
Yeah, and you can't double up. Like you have to play the different classes, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's in the first one especially, you couldn't double up. But in the second one, they allowed you to start doubling up.
Okay.
Yeah. In the second one, they added the colors. So instead of just saying elf needs food, it would say red elf needs food or blue elf needs food.
Gotcha.
And food heals you like it does in Castlevania, which is why we've been making that joke the whole time. Exactly. You crack open a vase that's been in some crypt for centuries and there is just a turkey dinner, and that gives you most of your HP back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Exactly. Bryden just waved to me at Discord. I'm like, is he listening to me? I just said I didn't want to play with him.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's top down, third person. There's like these mazes where the object is to kill monsters, gather treasures, and then get to the exit and touch the exit to leave at the end of every level. Pretty simple. You can get special items that can increase player characters' health, unlock doors, give more points, give more movement speed, magical potions that clear the room, the screen. So there's a bunch of stuff you can get on top of that. But I showed you a picture. I think it's the first picture that I sent. Let me scroll up here. This is what Gauntlet 1 looks like. And it's really tile-based. You have your four characters top down. You can shoot. You can shoot through diagonals. So cool. Like you see all those enemies.
There's a little like arrow holes.
Yeah, little arrow holes. But the fundamental gameplay is the same. You have your four classes. They all have health. They all have score. You're charging through, collecting the shit you can. They removed team kills because they found everyone would just spend all of the time team killing each other.
Does sound familiar.
Yeah. So there's the four main characters all have a different class: warrior, Valkyrie, wizard, elf. Do you remember the names of any of these? Because it stays the same all the way until the games that we've played.
Like the green, the red, Christian yellow, names? Blue.
All of the classes have a person name, like Bob.
Is Bob one of them?
No.
Wow.
Okay. The warrior is going to be some play on Conan. It's like Grognar or something. Elf. I don't know. Lego Moore.
Elf's a hard one.
Oh, it's like a last.
It does end in or, but
okay. The wizard is going to be like Mephistopheles or something, like Magistris.
Emmy starting, but it's Merlin. That's it.
Merlin, yeah.
Oh, it is Merlin. Okay,
that is
familiar. As soon as you said it, that is familiar. Yeah. So
Merlin,
it's not Conan the Barbarian.
No, it's a god. It's a god of.
Is it Thor?
It's Thor.
Ah. Well, now that they're not like super creative with it, we've got Merlin and Thor. The woman's got to be.
These are much harder. Oh, yeah. The Valkyrie and Elf are much harder.
I was gonna say like a heroic fantasy woman, but you'd have like Beatrice maybe,
or Freya, not Freya.
Like the thing that if you fuck it up, you get really fat. It's a gland.
Thyroid.
Yeah, but it sounds sort of like that.
Her name is Thyroid.
It's the female of Thyroid, Thyra.
Oh,
it's a
wait.
A
was beautiful. I right?
No. Well, Thyra? Did you say Thyra?
No, I said Thyroid.
No, Jamie, it's Thyra.
It's Thyra.
Oh yeah, but I followed your lead. You led me down the correct path. At the very
yeah.
Least.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Thyra was the wife of King Gorm the Old. Imagine your like subtitle was the Old.
Yeah, I mean, but at that time he was probably like 38, right? He's the oldest man has ever lived.
Isn't Gorm the giant in Elden Ring or in Dark Souls 3?
Gorm is a character in Hollow Knight as
Yorm.
Well. Or Gorm. Yorm. Gorb is the brain Gorm. Spirit. Yeah, the brain worm.
And any guesses for the elf? It's a hard one. It starts with a Q.
Red.
Starts with a Q.
Quintus.
Not Quintus. It's Questor.
Questor.
Oh, it's Quest or what? I'm not sure what else.
Yeah, Quest or die.
Yeah. So all the characters are named on like the cabinet of the arcade, but not in the game itself for the first one. But by the time you get to Slayer Edition, like we have played, it will say sometimes the names instead, like Questor killed the turkey instead of eating it or something like that.
Okay. I don't remember that at all.
I don't remember killing a turkey.
I remember you can destroy food and like and screw people out of their healing items.
Yeah, you can shoot the food before they get to it, which while my wizard wasn't fast, he was pretty good at shooting firebolts at the food that Jamie was going to eat.
Yeah. Because
I think it's safe to say that Jamie was always the lowest health of the crew.
Bobby probably would have been too as a warrior being up front. I feel like as the elf you can if you play right, you can
play hard and lose.
Yeah.
With our communal lives.
Yeah.
I say that. I mean, Wizard is definitely the easiest class to play safe on, I think. So
I think even Elf is safer.
Valkyrie is pretty turtly.
Yeah. I remember the last time we playing being alive last a lot, but that could be my own rose tinted my own elf tinted goggles on that. Yeah.
Yeah. Rose tinted glasses need truth badly.
Yeah. So each character has strengths and weaknesses. Warrior is the best hand to hand combat. Wizard has the combat. Wizard's got the best spells. Valkyrie is the best armor, and the elf has the fastest movement in like ranged attacks.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, DPS, and there's
tank, whatever.
Exactly. Like it's not as important as in like an MMO to have a tank. Like it's nice to have a warrior up front when you're an elf, so you can just keep shooting and they're doing their thing. But you don't need like a tank DPS healer setup. Any one class can run everything. I've heard in the Slayer version, because I went on the Reddit after a while, that Warrior, once you get used to it, even though it's easy to take a lot of damage, that's one of the easiest classes to solo everything, because you can just like charge through and attack everyone, and you're not that squishy. But any class can beat everyone. Elf, if you can just never get hit as an elf if you're good enough. That's not how I played.
Were you good enough?
Yeah. Now you get overwhelmed from time to time. But in the Slayer version, it was cool because you got like gear you could buy over time, which give you like different ultimates or like different bonuses. Like you can get boots that give you like permanent 15% movement speed, and then an ultimate like summons three bows behind me that just shoot like turrets.
Yeah.
Or like super fast attack speed and
Nothing felt like overpowered in the upgrades you could get in the Slayer edition. Like it was all like stuff which kind of like changed the way you played more than like just buffed you to make it easier.
Yeah. Yep. So that's all the characters. The enemies were all fantasy based monsters. There's ghosts, grunts, demons, lobbers,
goblins, ghouls.
Yep. Spiders, rest, spooks. Death.
Skellington.
The CIA. Oh my god.
Yeah, I know.
One thing that's like where the monsters come from. I don't know if you guys will remember, but there was like those towers that would come up that would summon skeletons from the ground.
Oh right. Yeah.
Where am the monster come from?
So every monster has its own way of being summoned. I think there's like for skeletons, there's headstones. For ghosts, there's dead guys or something. I don't know. For demons, there's pentagrams or I don't actually know.
How to get a skeleton and a ghost out of the same guy? That's very efficient, right?
Right.
Like double your army.
They had the same hometown.
Yeah, if there's like meat monsters, you could probably get a meat monster out of them too. You get a skeleton, a zombie, and a ghost out of one body.
It'd be a very sloshy skeleton.
Really? The Aboriginal necromancer uses every part of the course.
This is reminding me of that game that I started playing, Graveyard Keeper, and like you take someone dies in the village and they show up at your graveyard, a donkey brings them, and then you take them into your room and you gut them for the parts you want, and then you go and bury them, and then you can like upgrade the how many stars are on their place of rest. So if you give them the nice wooden border with like a nice stone trim or something, then they'll have like a 3-star death setup. But sometimes the bodies themselves are just so mangled you'll never get a high score, so it's more worth it to dig up the bodies and throw them into the river so you can start fresh with new hotter bodies. And yeah,
nice. Anyway. I was thinking of like Kitchen Nightmares but with a graveyard, where like Gordon Ramsay is like in the basement of a morgue, just like poking his hands into things. It's like, it's fucking disgusting how they've got things organized out. I've been back on Kitchen Nightmares recently, so it's fresh in my mind. He loves squishing foods, man.
Yeah, he does. That was the least committed you've ever gone to impersonate somebody. Like that was like no accent, no nothing. Just you just like bare affectation for voice.
I was trying to pull it up when I was vamping there, and I just couldn't get it. I didn't know where to put my tongue and teeth.
I'm fumbling with the clip while the sexy ghost is coming at you. I get it.
For me, I used to watch those. I had a client who is just never happy, who would just like give any situation they were given, they would just find something to complain about. And then I turned on Gordon Ramsay one day. I'm like, oh, he's never like, oh, this food's like 5 out of 10. Okay. I would eat this sometimes. And so I was like, oh, this is disgusting. How could anyone ever eat this? And he like spits it out. It's like, okay, man. Yeah, like, I'm sure the fucking lasagna isn't so repulsive to your mouth that you have to like spit it out.
It's definitely a bit, because I've never seen Gordon Ramsay eat a burger with his hands. He always like pulls it apart like a fucking medieval surgeon with a fork and knife for some reason. He's just like, this burger's disgusting. It's like, yeah, if you massacre the fucking thing, of course it looks like shit.
Yeah, he squishes it with his hands and goes, a presentation's awful.
Yeah, like, exactly.
What are you doing, man? But I guess you have to start off angry to give.
It's what sells. It's what sells TV, right? And then, like, the real problem isn't that, because, like, if you just buy it as fiction because it's television, then it's, I think it's fine. The problem is, like, people believe it, and people are like, no, he's clearly, like, the best food critic in the world. I think food criticism is dumb as hell to begin with. Like, everybody likes their own fucking thing. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't like mushrooms. I think they're icky. No, I'm not going to like your mushroom risotto, Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah.
But it's, what's really insufferable is like the people who take that shit home, right? Like the foodies who now are like talking about like presentation is off or the mouthfeel isn't right. It's like, just shut up and eat your burger, you fucking asshole.
As someone who is like eating shit from a client every day, and then I watch that
you
a couple
ate your
years,
client's shit.
Basically, he would squish it his own shit and be like, "Look
He'd
how
pull
bad
it apart with
president.
A fork and just be like, look at this guy's diet."
Yeah, and I started to feel for the cooks. I'm like, well, the cook is just like, he might as well send out something shittier than he can make now, because he's going to be judged in 3 weeks for how much he's improved and how it's all Gordon Ramsay who did this and not this guy who started working harder. And like, anyways, I can't watch.
I don't know how we got on this topic.
Watch, I can't watch it.
Took it wrong.
It was a graveyard keeper, because I was talking about cutting open bodies. And
you were talking about like a 5-star corpse, and I was thinking about the Michelin star, which is like a restaurant.
5-star corpse, a 5-corpse meal. Yeah. So the most, like I said, the most dangerous enemy is death in this game. There's no bosses in the first one. We do get some bosses by the time you play Slayer Edition. Like, I think the first boss we would have encountered is, there's two buttons on the side, and as you step on the buttons, it like spirals this thing in the middle. And once you line it up, so it makes sense, like the picture, the boss gets stunned and you get to whack him a bunch.
Okay, right.
So you're just like avoiding the boss, running from button to button to kind of like line up this circle in the middle. But this one, there's only death. And if you see death, find a potion, because that's the only way to get rid of him. I think it would be a good time for a break. And then when we come back, we can finish talking a little bit more about Gauntlet, and then hop into Gauntlet and the sequels.
Okay. See you then.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to the Gauntlet Show, where we all take off our gloves and show you our fingies.
Show digis. You showed it. Show me them hot dogs, baby girl.
That's an insecurity I have. I was called sausage fingers as a young kid. And I do have kind of big.
Well, they're very thick.
I never stopped calling you sausage fingers.
Look at that one. That one's all fucked up because I cut it the tendon as a child. So it's thick at the base, but then it has no muscle on the end because I physically cannot bend
it. There's no muscle in your hands.
There's no muscles in your hands at all.
Yeah. Well, how do my fingers get so beefed up then?
It's that you can feel the muscles in your forearm when you move your...
Oh, the beef, Jamie, is something I learned when I started to gain weight as well from the booze and my ring stopped fitting. It's just fat. But your tendons pull down into your forearm.
Right. Well,
maybe it's like there's some like cartilage that you've lost. I can agree that end of that finger is thinner than the rest of your fingers. So.
Yeah, it's weird that I just have one fucked up finger. Anyways,
you got to get rid of for a shocker too, which is a shame.
Yeah, it's my ring finger. Now, if I'm ever married, I'm gonna have my husband's gonna have to lean down and put it on my fucked up finger, dude.
All right. He's gonna have to take a break from shocking you.
Yeah. I found a guy at a gym. It's just this Indian dude, and he like gets all flexed up, and there's like a propane tank on a string behind him. And he's like, looks like he's going to do something. I thought he was going to punch it, but he just turns around, sticks out his butt, and his friend just keeps throwing the propane tank into his butt.
What the hell?
And I sent it to Peter, and I was like, is this what you do at the gym?
Oh, I didn't look at that yet. I'm so sorry. I haven't seen that one yet. That was a post-show Instagram reel. Yeah. The answer is yes, though, Jamie. Live on air. Absolutely.
Okay. That's you exactly get someone to tie up some weights and throw them into your butt. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So all right. Yeah, so we got the gauntlet shaped like a shocker. Moving on here into the game, the Infinity Gauntlet missing the one finger. Yeah,
yeah, it's like unarmored.
Almost done it.
Yeah, bad dragon crunch at us.
So as the game progresses, there's higher levels of skill that we need to reach the exit. And a big problem, especially in a four-player multiplayer game. It depends on the willingness of the players to cooperate a lot of the time to see how far you would actually get it. So if your friends are like trying to kill you or shoot your food before you can eat it,
only because you took my gold,
set off a trap or all these things. Mm-hmm. But that's also the most fun you have in the game is when you steal that gold right out from underneath someone and call them some names and criticize their workout schedule and then move on.
throw a propane tank on a string at their butt.
So in the first one, this kind of goes back to what sells, what makes money. Your health would be a pretty high health pool. Like you start off with like 700 health or something, but it wasn't only a health pool. It was also a timer. It would tick down over time. So you could just keep eating food to survive, keep beating the game, being good at the game,
or
throw in a few more quarters.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, back then, anything to get another quarter. I think they sold on their first year something like 7,500 cabinets of this thing. So, and it was a popular game. People were like throwing quarters into it. So it was quite profitable as far as like
we talk a lot about predatory video game practices in this day and age, like microtransactions and loot boxes, but like that was like the fact that you just had to pay by the quarter for time was like pretty scummy.
Yeah,
for the record, microtransactions predate like a plot line in video games, right? This thing we all are really into on this show, like lore. Hate to
that's
break
pay to
you.
Play. That's literally pay to play. It's
one of the things I've been thinking about recently.
Yeah, pay a quarter to skip the gauntlet where all the soldiers punch you in the nuts.
Yeah.
It started in the 1600s. You could pay a Swedish quarter to save your nuggets.
Like hack silver coin. One of the things I was thinking of is just like passive income. Where I was just like, oh, if I ever wanted to invest in something, I just heard a rumor recently on a podcast that was just like, oh yeah, like never become a landlord. Just buy a laundromat. You show up three times a year and unload $40,000 in quarters of people who just have had to do their laundry. And yeah. I was like, oh, that's such a great idea. It's not predatory. And you don't have to, like, you just go in, you send a repairman to, whatever, fix a washing machine or some shit. And it's, like, not as bad as a landlord.
Yeah, I think that where you can get screwed there is the power cost. If you're not enough people are coming through.
Oh, like hydro,
all that,
yeah.
All that, well, water's cheap where we are.
Or rent. Rent.
So I watched a video of a guy who owned a laundromat, and he broke down his expenses and how much money. And the quarters you bring in is a lot of money. But then at the end, you're still paying like thousands of dollars on rent and power.
Well, that's why you don't see people who own laundromats driving around in Lamborghinis, Peter.
Or you. Oh, to be fair, I've never like been at a red light next to a Lambo and just been like, roll down your window, do the universal gesture, and just be like, "Yo, laundromat," and him just be like.
Yeah. Throws a fistful of quarters and like chips your paint on your car.
Yeah.
It's Dane Cook, and there's like a teenage girl next to him. Like, yeah.
He drops like his Ray-Bans, which are like up on top of his head over his face, and they're all mangled from when he threw them into the wash. But yeah. cleanest fucking sunglasses you've ever seen.
His license plate is some kind of vicious circle, but in numbers instead of letters.
Oh, the dryer is just a vicious circle.
True. It's just it hot and it keeps going around and young girls just fall in sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, his license plate is like HLP STBRO. Like
She's 18 is his license. Yeah. So as the game progresses, you need higher levels of skill to get through it, like I said. When your health reaches zero, either by timeout or by getting hit by too many times, character dies. And you can be revived in place with full health by spending a game credit or inserting a coin. But the cool thing is, too, is if you're playing four players, let's say, and Peter's like, oh, man, someone just turned 18 down the street. I got to get there.
Right.
So Pete's running full tilt. And anyone can just pop a quarter in and take over his Valkyrie where he left off. So you can kind of hop in at like level 17 or something, or just hang around the table and wait for a time.
There's no friendly fire, but you can steal the other player's child brides. So there is that.
Yep. And then, so this is like also like a way that, even if you're not good at games, you can play with your friends as long as you have enough money. As long as your dad brings home enough quarters from the laundromat, then...
The sock he hits you with has got enough quarters in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another long day at the laundry mines, Margaret.
Yeah. The only one thing they have...
It's like all like blue with detergent instead of coal dust.
Yeah. Ever tell you guys why they call them the Blue Nose? The sailboat that is made in Lunenburg, Canada, where my brother
why they called it the Blue Nose? No.
Yeah. So this is also on our dimes. This is a ship that's on our money. The people who worked on the Blue Nose would work through cold weather, and they wore full blue denim suits, and their noses would run, and they'd always be touching their nose, and the dye from their denim suits come off on their nose.
That's interesting. Yeah. That's fun.
So the people who built the ships had blue faces because runny nose. Yeah,
that's cute. I've noticed on a new pair of Levi's, you will get like blue to rub off on you still, like to this day.
I haven't figured it out. You can.
The technology doesn't exist.
Put a man on the moon.
Yeah,
but you can figure out the genes.
You can
get Stanley Kubrick working on the Levi's blue.
Yeah, he died before making AI trying to figure out how to make blue stay on jeans.
Yeah, we blew a man before we unblued the jeans, I think.
Dabba-dee dabba-da.
Yeah. So yeah, a way to keep it kind of fair so someone can't just put coins in forever and get the high score, your final score is divided by the number of credits. So your average score per coin is what actually gets counted.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah, so if you were like number one, or if you beat the entire game, the game goes on forever, it's auto-generated, but if you got to level 100 and you had a really low score, then people could laugh at you being like, oh, you're pay to win. dumb guy.
Dumb idiot guy. Driving around his fucking Lamborghini with his laundromat money.
Yep.
It's the 1970s. I don't even know if Lamborghinis exist yet. But fucking
could you import them? I have no idea.
So, something that is really a part of the memes for this game, and still is in the game up until now, is the narrator's voice was really iconic in 1985.
Because
a Texas Instruments TMS 522OC speech chip, and it just sounds like an old Stephen Hawking being like, "Elf shot the food."
really?
Yeah, yeah. And there's like 220 sounds that it makes. Not
220 all sounds. Elf shot the food.
Exactly. Yeah. Warrior stole the food, or warrior needs food badly. Valkyrie is about to die. Your life force is running out. And it would say all these different things.
Joey Glock Glock down on his luck luck.
Yeah.
I remember the TI-86 calculator being like the biggest expense in my entire high school because it was mandatory for 11th grade.
They had a classroom worth of them, and they would just hand them out to the class who needed them, I think, for us.
Yeah, like a briefcase that would like open up and you can like pull your, everyone got theirs.
Yeah.
Out of that.
No, I own mine. I gave it to my sister afterwards.
I did. I bought one when I went to university.
I have it now.
I have a TI 84. Thank you very much.
I have two of your calculators. You gave me a laptop bag at one point, and it had two of your calculators in it.
There you go. You probably have my TI 84 then.
I guess I had a TI 83. This looks familiar.
That's the classic. The TI 83 is the classic.
Yeah. So now, like, whenever we play, and you get like an actual narrator who's like, "Warrior needs food." It's a throwback to the Stephen Hawking. But you would be in a room, like a crowded arcade room, and you'd be hearing this all the time. And these are, it was meant to be the DM. So he would say, "Remember, don't shoot food," or "Valkyrie needs this food, you know." And if you played by the rules, you would usually go farther. But if Warrior would chop the turkey in front of the Valkyrie when they needed the food, then not so much.
Yeah. Okay.
Roll to chop the food.
Yep. I wrote down here, but I mentioned already, even though the old versions were created by Atari, the latest version of Gauntlet was picked up by Arrowhead Studios. So we were supporting Helldivers before we knew we were, guys.
Nice. We did it.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
We probably bought it on sale for $2.
Yeah. I bought it on sale. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I might have got someone got the Gauntlet 5-pack, I think, for us or for
Bobby.
Pack.
Probably
it would have been Bobby, friend of the show, for sure.
Yeah, he does that a lot. He is an absolute bloodhound for a 97-cent deal on Steam, dude.
Yeah,
it always picks a winner.
I got us two, and I remember one was Hero Siege, which was that ARPG.
That was fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I got us Garfield Furious Kart Racing.
Oh, the kart racer. Yeah. Also good. Both good.
Yeah.
You guys in Garfield so bad. Dude. Jamie's going to misremember now and say that he always won, but I'm pretty sure I smoked you guys every race.
I don't remember because I've played so much since. I still play that game, dude.
Yeah.
You got to collect all the collectibles. I'm a normal main now.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I see.
I do like your implication that Bobby would have bought a 5-pack of the 4-player multiplayer game Gauntlet.
I forget what it was.
It must have been a 4-pack. Simply must have been.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so we're getting towards the end of this thing here. I'm just going to hop quickly through all of the Gauntlet games and like the small changes between them.
Yeah, you may have gathered the Gauntlet is fun and cool, but it doesn't have a plot.
We have a little plot. A little plot. There's
like I played the 7 Sorrows because there were 7 bosses to kill. All I recall. That's it.
That one didn't even make my list, so maybe it's not canonic. It's not canon.
That's
on
okay.
The Gauntlet
I made up both that and Dane Cook. Neither one of them exists, Jamie. I made them up at the beginning of the show.
So Gauntlet 1985, the one we've been talking about up till now, does not have a cohesive story.
Dang.
You choose a character that best represents yourself, survive as long as possible. But the spirit of Gauntlet is very much there. Top down, shoot your waves of enemies, kill the tower so more enemies can't spawn, get your upgrades, get your next level. Gauntlet 1985 was a very much Gauntlet game. It was the first one. They did it.
Congratulations.
The very next year, they sold 7,500 arcade cabs, and they're like, well, let's do that again, huh? Very next year, 1986, Gauntlet 2. It looks a lot like the first one. I sent a picture. This is where the series of pictures that I sent at the beginning are really...
Yeah,
so Gauntlet 2, you can see the Valkyrie and the Warrior very scantily clad.
Both just... the Warrior is just in a loincloth, and then the Valkyrie is in the female equivalent of a loincloth in that she is wearing just a bikini but has a sword and shield. Yeah. I love the Christmas elf with the vest.
Yeah.
That's Questor, baby.
Yeah, in the face of, like, I don't know, like... Robert De Niro or something.
Yeah, he does look like an old guy.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the next picture right after that is gameplay from it. It's really similar to the first one, just different textures, maybe a couple new enemies.
I mean, stuff. I just want to go back
Final
to like
Quest.
The
Quest. That's
the,
odd.
I want to go back to the box art again. Like that Velociraptor going like, oh, with the expression of like, oh, look at these heroes coming to kill me.
That's true.
Fuck, these heroes are coming to kill me. Fuck.
Also, the wizard's pose is very weird. He's like a, kind of scrunched up and like
he's like a b-boy, like, you know what I mean? He's about to break dance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Warrior and the Valkyrie are so naked, their hair colors are their skin tones. Like,
right.
Yeah. Just so naked.
Yeah.
And also the Warrior's eyes are too close together, and the Valkyrie's eyes are too far apart. So we both have cross eyes and wall eyes.
Oh, you also like got pixels.
Men and women.
Oh yeah.
The Warrior, now that you pointed out, like his hair could just be like spaghetti strands of flesh coming off the top of his head.
The same color, man. And even his loincloth and stuff, like he just went with all brown and
earthy tones.
Yeah, so that's Gauntlet 2. And then the very next picture with the ghosts flying around is the gameplay. The only difference is here is sometimes rooms would tilt 90 degrees to surprise you. There's invisible walls that can block player progress, but they can even be destroyed. So there's a series of invisible walls that if you've got through all of them, they would give you like a 10-digit code, and you could call the devs, and they would, the first, I think, 50 or 100 people to do this got a t-shirt.
There you go.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So if you spent like $500 in quarters, you could have a t-shirt.
A laundromat's worth. Just,
yeah.
A Lamborghini's worth of quarters, right?
Yeah. I just love the idea of like, these kids in an arcade, you know, their hard earned paper route money, like going into this machine, like paying, getting further and further. Their last quarter, they get to that new level, get the splash screen, get the code. Oh shit, we got to call the devs. Run to the phone. It's a fucking payphone. They just use their last quarter.
Oh yeah. That is the Twilight Zone episode of Gauntlet, right?
Yeah. Just begging outside of
or let's like try to mash in like a collect call, and you've got like Nolan Bushnell over to Atari just like, would you accept a collect call from I did it I accept the charges.
Yeah.
Get a t-shirt that's way too big for a kid in the 70s.
Yeah,
I remember when I used to work at EB Games, a lot of the swag we used to get, or GameStop for Americans, a lot of the swag we used to get, I used like different gamer measurements, which I was joking about at work because I won a raffle. I was like, so are they going to send me like a medium or a gamer medium? Because there's a big difference between a shirt for a person and a poncho that I might be getting. Because at EB Games, medium was very much like a tarp with sleeves.
I worked
and, like, the Skyrim logo on it.
Yeah. I worked one of the work parties handing out t-shirts, and they know to order way more double XLs than they do smalls. They know who they're working with. But
the toque that I got is very nice, though, I must say.
I lost one of my old work hats at a Doug Stanhope show, and I miss it so much. The blue one was the best. But
I got a blue one, with our logo on it.
Not the old blue one, though. The old blue one was...
Yeah, anyway. I got it 2 weeks ago. Anyway. Yeah. It was in a gift bag that just was stapled shut and had a fucking label on it, like not even in a box.
Yeah.
You got like your mouse clicker.
I got a full desk mouse pad, actually. Ooh. Like the foot and a half wide one. Very nice.
Can't wait to spill some wine into that.
It's in my office. It's not on my personal desk.
So, Gauntlet 3, the final quest, 1991. Us little lore boys were just crawling out of our own gauntlets and making it out into the real world.
I hated it when the Swedish man flogged me with a rope as I was born.
I was thinking of them flogging my mom to give birth to me faster.
Flogging Molly.
Flogging mommy.
So Gauntlet 3, the final quest. Spoilers, not the final quest.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I feel like I played a game after the year I was born.
Yeah, no, there's another screenshot here that says Gauntlet 4. So
yeah. And the one we played like recently. So this
that's
one,
a reboot. I'd give him that.
Fair. This one's a isometric. So it's like the very next picture. The only problem with all the extra memory needs of playing an isometric prettier game, you could only have up to about 6 enemies on the screen at once, which is not really in the spirit of Gauntlet, where you have waves of enemies. Yeah. But cool that you could like go in like little buildings or find treasure chests, and a lot more immersive in terms of the way the world looked like. But that wasn't an incredibly popular Gauntlet title, but it was one. Then Gauntlet 4 went back towards its root. Oh, before I move on from Gauntlet 3, there was story here. We have story.
This is the lore boys. Sorry.
Yeah. They added 4 new characters, by the way, in that one. The Iceman, the Lizardman, the Lord of the Sea, and Rockman.
Cool.
So,
cool.
Mega Man, basically.
Yeah, I was going to say. They got the rights from Capcom.
Yeah. So here's our 3 paragraphs of lore from the third one.
Okay.
Yeah. The kingdoms of Capra were often in conflict with each other. Wars between the kingdoms was commonplace, with violence widespread. A mighty wizard, Magnus, managed to deliver peace to these kingdoms, but decided
to go Maggie.
Yep. Good job, Red Magnus.
Shout out, longtime patron, for bringing peace to the lands of Capra.
But he decided to pose an ultimatum as a method to enforce the peace. There'd be a curse that would unseal a portal to a dimension full of monsters. But only if the ill wishes and the violent... So basically, if humans act bad, demons will just wipe you out and we start over. This is
okay.
The setup.
It's not a bad... It's that's a like nuclear a, option,
like a
right?
Good system.
Yeah.
He calls it the final piece.
That's bad branding.
Yeah, I know. It's too much like the end of a puzzle, final piece, final solution. Peace as in Ops of War.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's literally a war with demons.
True.
So to call it the final piece is like, well, it's literally a war, dude, that you're bringing on humans.
Yeah. So,
I don't know. So you should call it the final war, where the demons kill us all.
So he's setting up this failsafe for his happy humans, and he actually gets captured by one demon called Capricorn.
Okay. Which zodiac is that one? Is that the archer?
Capricorn?
No, is it a goat? Anyway.
I think it's
a goat. Yeah. It's a goat with a mermaid tail. That's fun.
It's cute.
Is that December?
The sea goat.
I think it's December.
December 21st to January 19th. Sorry, nice. It's January.
Well, it's my stepbrother's birthday falls in December. It matched up.
Well, it's more January
mine
than
too,
it is
actually,
December.
Yeah. So, yeah. Eric would be Eric's a Capricorn.
Yeah. So Capricorn was unable to break Magnus's seal, but he used Magnus's spell to his favor. So he commanded the servants to spread violence, disease, and poison into the kingdoms of Capra. And the people were agitated by the spread of evil. So they started to become evil as well, causing Magnus's binding spell to become more and more thin. So some demons got out, made people act worse, which made more demons get out, which made people act worse. But to prevent this, the 8 champions of Capra were summoned, determined to put an end to Capricorn's evil and return peace to Capra. So I don't know if those 8 are the ones that you chased in the the seven or whatever that you played, but I had
no. The no. Seven Sorrows were the bosses. You were still playing as Blue Elf and whatever. Fuck.
Okay.
You want me to read you the one paragraph summary for Seven Sorrows? I have it here.
Yeah. Yeah. What does it say? What year that's from?
2006 or 2005.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay. So I was in high school. It's later than I thought. Yeah.
Yeah. Metacritic has a like 59 on PS2 and 61 on Xbox. Xbox got the bump.
So well, I played the good one.
Centuries ago, four immortal heroes were gathered together to serve the Emperor. He trusted their advice, but sought their immortality. And so his six great advisors used this against him and tricked him into crucifying the heroes on a great tree at the bottom of the world. Afterwards, the Emperor regretted this act and yet committed six other sorrows before he was killed by his trusted advisors. However, before his death, he undid his first great sorrow and released his loyal heroes from the tree. Mysteriously set free, the heroes must now set out to destroy the Emperor's twisted advisors, transformed into monstrous creatures by stealing the hero's immortality, and nice. Set right the Emperor's six other sorrows.
Okay.
If the ancient heroes cannot undo the Emperor's deeds on their own, his mad plans may tear the world apart. The heroes set out to destroy the Emperor, but there are some complications, and all their powers are taken away. From there, it is up to the player to gain the powers and destroy the Emperor.
That's about as much lore as we need for a gauntlet game.
I think so.
All right. Yeah,
it's an arcade game, right? I know, like, sometimes, I hope people who requested this got what they wanted, because sometimes people will request something they played as a child that was written in a single afternoon by one guy. And it's like, there's nothing. But they just want the fun. I hope the fun of Gauntlet, because these games, at least the two that I've played, rule universally, right? And like,
super intuitive,
just made to be fun, right?
Yeah, you pick them up, you know it, what you're playing, like pretty much immediately, you know what you're doing. It's super fun, super fun.
Yeah.
So we're getting on to Gauntlet: The Third Encounter, which is actually a year before the final quest. It's 1990.
Oh, Gauntlet 2.5: The Third Encounter.
Yeah, of the third encounter of the third kind.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, they actually added some new classes to this one. This is the green screenshot. It looks sure, like yeah. it was like what Game Boy Boy. So they added a bunch of new classes, which is kind of cool. They added.
You can tell what's going on, honestly, for the Game Boy. There's a archer lady about to kill a bunch of scorpions.
She opened a door and it's a room full of giant spiders and scorpions.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's more of a callback to the original Gauntlet 1 and 2 than the third final quest that was coming out the next year.
She spent her last quarter on the arcade machine. She can't take out spider pellets to like tame them out of the little twisty thing.
Yeah. It's top down again. A lot more waves of enemies, not just six on the screen. So back a return to form for Gauntlet here.
Yeah.
They have new classes such as Android, Gunfighter.
Cool.
Nerd.
Nice.
Pirate.
Cool. Okay.
Punk Rocker.
Okay.
Samurai. Keanu Reeves. Cool. Oh. Punk Rocker right next to Samurai while I'm playing Cyberpunk.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Valkyrie.
Wake the fuck up, Samurai. We've got a room full of scorpions to burn.
Valkyrie and Wizard are also back.
Okay.
Good for them.
Some of
those are great classes. Nerd and Pirate, though. Pirate and Gunslinger sound functionally identical.
True. The nerd is looks like what's that game? Chip's Challenge. It looks like Chip from Chip's Challenge. So okay. They're making fun at him, calling him a nerd for being a puzzle solver. So yeah, the third one has story. A long time ago, a star gem fell from the sky, crashed into an ancient castle. Evil creatures dwelling within were attracted to the crystal and captured it.
Slowly. I just want to say, like, we were talking about longtime patron Magnus just a few moments ago. He just posted in the Discord, like an hour or two ago, about how he wants to make a D&D campaign about a star gem that crashed from the sky. I just thought it was weird
that's crazy.
That he was talking about it. I was like, oh, this is a cool idea that it just comes up in this episode that we're recording right now. So
I saw him post that. I didn't read it.
Yeah. So cool. Just another shout out for Magnus, I guess.
Slowly, the powers of the star gem began to increase the strength of these monsters, and civilizations nearby began to fear the newfound power. However, Attempts to retrieve or destroy the crystal were only met with failure and death. Now it's time for the heroes to descend into the labyrinth and destroy the star gem. So the nerd Magnus has to get all the way down into the castle.
And to do so, he's got to put on the flippers to get over the blue tiles, and he's got to collect all the chips and the keys.
Yep. Gauntlet 4 was a redo of Gauntlet 1 for Sega Genesis. I showed a picture. If you do want to play the original Gauntlet, like 1 arcade cabinet at home, and can only get your hands on a Sega Genesis, that's like a very good way to do it. This is apparently
this red one.
Yeah, the one that says Gauntlet 4 in the top right.
Oh yeah, excuse me.
It's the one that's most like the one at home. And if you had like a splitter on your Sega Genesis where you could turn the two controllers into four controllers, you can actually play up to four players on at home.
You could just buy an Gauntlet arcade heavy duty coin operated commercial grade LCD monitor sharp coin operated cabinet for $2,800 American.
Wow,
that's an awful lot.
How many quarters do we have to wait until we pay ourselves back on that one? Like 10,000 quarters, more than 10,000.
Literally an unfathomable number.
Yeah,
it's an incalculable number.
Yeah. I was just walking in our neighborhood and a Homer donut place opened up with a Simpsons arcade cab on the inside. I think we got to go check that out, Peter.
Yeah, before it gets nuked, I'd like to see the inside.
Yeah, definitely.
Before the Pinkertons kill the cashier.
Yeah, like somebody told them that like the copyright expired on Steamboat Willie. They're like, what? All of Disney's IPs are up for grabs?
They had the really good deal on wings at the place that used to be there. I was sad when it closed because I could order, they had buy one get one free on 6 wings, so you'd pay for 6, you'd get 12. The sauces were great, and it doesn't even exist anymore, man. Now we got donuts. What am I gonna do with donuts?
You could also eat them,
I guess. So anyways, on to Gauntlet. I skipped the one that Peter played, but luckily Ethan captured that for the 2006 Gauntlet. But we're on to Gauntlet Slayer Edition, which is the modern day Gauntlet. If you play it now, you can get it for like $20 on PlayStation, on PC, and I think that's it. It's not on Xbox. But it does have a little bit of lore. There's a evil Skellington, and he wants you to chase him. So for ages, foolhardy adventurers have been lured by promise of countless treasures in the depths of the Gauntlet. Yet none have ever made it out alive. The corrupt wizard Morak conjures minions and devious traps against would-be champions and taunts them all along the way. But a new group of heroes look to succeed where all others have failed. Warrior, Valkyrie, Elf, and Wizard. Each has their own reason for entering the Gauntlet that we won't give them a lore for. But, but all four are bound together for one goal: to survive the Gauntlet and claim the ultimate prize. So that's a perfect place if you guys ever want to just kill some baddies and collect some gold and kill your friends. Gauntlet, very fun, easy way to do that. Look out for a sale. It goes on sale from time to time. And that's been...
Yeah, it's simple, silly, and good. Like, just fucking... Get your favorite burned comedy CD. Spin that shit with the lads and go for it, dude.
Absolutely. Mike Racine special just came out. That's good.
It's so fucking good.
Jordan Jensen just had hers out. That was a good 20 minutes. Sam Talent's hour from recently has been good. Nick Mullins. Oh, there's a lot of good ones out there.
Dan Soder. Dan Soder's is great, too.
Dan Soder's really good. Yeah. There's a lot of really good stand-up comedy out there right now.
I always have trouble because people at work ask me about stand-up a lot. And I always have trouble because working remotely, you don't really know your colleagues very well. So there's difficulty gauging like who would find what funny. And also, like, if you haven't watched an entire special, like, I don't know if someone's going to say something inappropriate in the last 10 minutes that might bother a person I don't know. But
comedy stuff, right?
Exactly. But like,
comedy recommendation, you give them a comedy recommendation. It's like
recommending stuff on our show is great. The Mike Racine one is excellent. Sam Talent was just on Are You Garbage today. Fucking killed me, man. Like, one of my favorite comedians. I almost said comedies, man. One of my favorite comedians on like one of my favorite podcasts.
Dan Soder snuck up on me. I didn't realize how much I liked his comedy.
I'd never heard of him.
I saw him on other podcasts, but I just got into his podcast now with like, and he's got like his his girlfriend works for like ESPN or something like that, and she's just like the coolest person ever. And yeah. Anyways, why are we talking about other podcasts? The Lore Boys rules, man.
It's so funny. We talked about it at the beginning, and he just doesn't understand anything. When Soder was on Rogan like 2-3 weeks ago to promote his special, he's like talking to him about video games. He's like, oh yeah, like Ghost of Tsushima is the coolest fucking thing on the planet. And then Jamie pulls up a clip to show Joe Ghost of Tsushima, and he's such a fucking, like, he's just a Neanderthal. And he's just like, wow, graphics are getting so good these days. It's like a game from fucking 4 years ago.
I watched that too, and he's saying, like, whoa, and like you make decisions and then it changes things later.
Yeah, I know. Like,
okay, yeah. We've been doing that for a while, Joe. But yeah,
okay. I still love that show as a whole, just to get like Joe's rotation of freaks to come in. But like if Joe Rogan watched me fight.
Like, he'd have a few criticisms too.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. But yeah, like Dan Soder is just like a genuinely good guy, and his podcast, which is just called Soder, is hilarious as well.
Someone is going to pull up that clip whenever he gets canceled for, I don't know. Dan Soder is a genuinely good guy. Somebody's going to pull it up, isolate it whenever he gets canceled for whatever.
Well, you can use my comment recorded on March 25th, 2024 as evidence against
Absolutely. Anyways, our podcast, if you want to find us, discord.tg/loreboys, loreboys.
This is the coordinates, Mr. Soder, for whenever you want to show up.
You can... you can find us there. There's lots of stuff going on, lots of people chatting. And you can find me on Tuesdays and Thursdays at twitch.tv/loreboyjames. We went through Ratchet and Clank this week. I don't know what's coming up, or last week. I don't know what's coming up this week, but you can join the Discord and tell me what you want to see. Maybe Dragon's Dogma 1. I never played that. I have it downloaded. Could be fun.
It's really good. It's really, really good, Jamie. Yeah. You should play that.
Cool. And next up's Pete, usually.
I guess at Loremus Podcast on Instagram. Definitely buy Dragon's Dogma 1, because in Canada, Dragon's Dogma 2 launched at $95 plus tax.
Yeah, fuck, nuts.
Fuck that.
Nuts.
I waited 13 years to play the first one. It's great. But yeah, you can follow the Instagram for our pictures, updates on my comic, which is going really well. That's all I really do there now, frankly.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I have no extracurricular activities. Surely
you'll be posting pictures of your new Transformers soon. thanks so much for listening, everybody. If you like the show, consider leaving us a 5-star review and telling your friends and families about us. It helps us to grow. If you want to support the show, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys, where we have a couple different tiers with a couple different options. I know I've promised the patrons a Gundam episode. It is still on the way. I might detour for more Dune soon, but we'll see.
It's cooking, but Ethan likes books more than anime, and we're sorry.
The script is mostly done. I'm enjoying Dune right now, but
the server's all getting into Gunpla. I didn't know what a Gunpla was, and in the last 2 weeks I've learned what it is because they talk about it so much.
Build one on stream, you'd popular. Love it. I'm sure.
It's
they
just
sexy ones
that plastic you can Gundam toy on. Yeah. It's just plastic Gundam toy. That's all.
We'll
that
meet means. In the middle. Buy a sexy Gunpla Transformer. Those do exist, and we'll do it together.
Right, nice.
on your bed, right behind you.
Yeah, that'd be cute.
That's where I do it.
Little Melling would probably get all involved.
Oh, you used my new nickname. I call her the verb Melling now. Because it's like macking cheese in the microwave. Or
it's sure.
Why that's like, why do they call it an oven when you oven the cold food out hot eat the food?
Yeah, absolutely. Duh.
As a hobo who doesn't have one, I wouldn't know what you're talking about.
Of course, if you don't trust Patreon, we do have Lore Boys Prime, which we've always offered. So this week, I mean, really, it's not something so exciting this week. We really need your guys' help, obviously. We're big supporters of Make-A-Wish, so we're supporting Pete's Make-A-Wish. He is dying. It's just we're in the sense that we're all dying, I guess. So we are trying to support Peter in this difficult time where he just realized that he is mortal. So he is fulfilling his childhood dream of getting rich. So obviously we're going to open up a laundromat. We need you guys to send your dirty laundry to Pete. We're still not sure how the business side of this works or how people get so, so rich off opening a laundromat. But the one thing we do know we need is dirty laundry. So yeah. Send your dirty jock straps, send your cum socks, send it all to Peter. And he'll get the machines running. He'll crank up that electricity bill. And we're pretty sure soon the quarters will be rolling in.
You can bring my ship a cum sock flat like a board, right? Like, you can get like pallets of them to go through.
Just put a stamp on it. Just put a stamp on it.
Staple the top shut. And
yeah, to keep the cum in, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. We can all line up outside the laundromat. And when people come in, we can send them through the gauntlet. And we all hit them with our cum sock.
I was thinking of just like two of those like workers with the overalls carrying a giant cum sock across the street while like the hero of the movie is like skateboarding downhill too fast.
And it's like right past like, that.
And then he like crashes through a watermelon stand.
Crashes through the giant cum sock. Crashes through the giant check the single mother got from being like go of her job.
Yeah, it's the procession of people carrying giant shit across the street.
Yeah, so send it to Peter. I think that would come to you. Lore boys.
Goodbye.
Out.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.